Good to see all of you. Your smiling faces. Good turnout today. I like it when most of the chairs are full. Over 90%. That's good. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven is now. We've heard that term in our lives a lot, right? The kingdom of heaven. Actually, there's a great movie called The Kingdom of Heaven. Have you seen it? Orlando Bloom. It's about around the time of the Crusades and and what went on back then. It's quite a good movie. Anyway, The Kingdom of Heaven. Keep that in mind. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. You might wonder what I'm here to talk about after the next couple minutes, but I'll get there. Several weeks ago, I took my daughter and two of her friends, two other girls. My daughter's 17. The friends were both, their twins are 18. And I took them to Michigan Adventure, which is over by Muskegon. It's a, you know, amusement park, water park. They rode the coasters, and I rode the lounge chair. And it worked out fine. But fortunately, we got out of all that noise, and we went to Lake Michigan for a while. Spent a little time at the beach, and then it was very late, and somewhere in Grand Rapids, we stopped at a restaurant. And we had a wonderful conversation where we were just having fun and laughing, and we were talking about country songs. Now, I don't know if any of you are into country music, but if you get into, look at the titles and listen to some of the songs, country music's about life. It's about how it is. Now, there are religious songs in country music. For example, there is Dropkick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life. I've been roped and thrown by Jesus in the Holy Ghost Corral. There's also one called Beer with Jesus. And Jack Daniels and Jesus. So, real men love Jesus. But there also are songs about finding love. For example, I changed her oil, she changed my life. And, there's another one here. Her teeth were stained, but her heart was pure. These are real songs. You can look them up. Or, I fell in a pile of you and got love all over me. Picture that one, huh? But, you know, a large amount of them are about breakups and conflict and that sort of thing. And what leads to that. For example, her only bad habit is me. Or, how can I miss you if you won't go away? Or, she got the gold mine. And I got the shaft. She got the ring and I got the finger. I flushed you from the toilet of my life. Oh, yeah. And the one of great desperation. I don't know whether to kill myself or go bowling. Really. And one by Loretta Lynn and Conway Twitty, which you can find on YouTube. And it's fun to watch them perform it. You're the reason our kids are ugly. And my all-time favorite, this one really got to me when I heard about it, Did I shave my legs for this? So, country songs like that, they're about life. But I'm here to say you don't have to live in a country song. There, actually, if we talk about heaven and hell, a lot of country songs are about hell. Breakups and getting drunk and being in prison and all the other things that country songs are about. And some of them are, of course, a funny look or a humorous look at those things, which it's nice to be able to lighten up. But on a more serious note, take a moment and reflect on your thoughts right now. Are you in heaven or are you in hell? Where are you right now? And that's a good question to ask yourself at any moment during the day. Am I in heaven or am I in hell? This is a story you might have heard before, but hearing again won't hurt you. A big, tough samurai once went to see a little monk, and he said, "Monk." And he was used to instant obedience when he barked. He said, "Teach me about heaven and hell." And the monk looked up at the mighty warrior and replied with disdain, "Teach you about heaven and hell? I couldn't teach you about anything. You're dumb. You're dirty. You're a disgrace, an embarrassment to the samurai class. Get out of my sight. I can't stand you. The samurai became furious. He shook, red in the face, speechless with rage. He pulled out his sword and prepared to slay the monk. Looking straight into the samurai's eyes, the monk said softly, "That's hell." The samurai froze, realizing the compassion of the monk who had risked his life to show him hell. He put down his sword and fell to his knees, filled with gratitude. The monk said softly, "That's heaven." You are creating at this very moment heaven or hell. Your thoughts and feelings, like a pebble thrown into the water, sends out ripples into your life. There's a quote I have from Charles Fillmore. He said, "No one should be deluded with the vague assumption that there's a place in the skies or in some faraway planet called heaven. There is not a shadow of a foundation in either the Old or the New Testament for such a doctrine. On the contrary, the teaching is clear that all the heaven which men will ever find will be here. It is here now, and it will be revealed to everyone who rends the veil of sense. And from Matthew, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So you all know that 2,000 years ago, this guy Yeshua, we call him Jesus, was on the planet and he taught that the kingdom of heaven is within. So then we wonder, how did this religious belief get to be that, oh, you have to believe in Jesus and you have to do this and that, or you're going to go to hell? I saw it yesterday. I was at the beginning of the Spartan football game. I was outside the stadium and watching the band, and there's these people with these huge signs waving them around about, "Come to Jesus, blah, blah, blah. Churches are pathetic." Really, it said that. And because they have the answer, apparently, that you don't need churches, you just come to us and we'll show you all about Jesus. And then they passed out Spartan schedules. "Oh, thanks for the schedule." And you look on the back and it's their stuff. Saying that you are all sinners and it's only through Jesus that you can go to heaven because he paid the price that you owed. And I'm wondering, like, when did I incur that debt? You know, when did I do that? Before I was born, apparently, I somehow did that. It's never a doctrine that made sense to me, but it's the one that's preached through most of mainstream Christianity, that you have to believe in Jesus as your Savior, or you go to hell, you go instead of heaven. And probably today, many people are hearing that message. But fortunately, you're not hearing that message here. Because I think we know that heaven is not a place. Jesus didn't come here saying, "Come, I'll lead you to some far-off place way after your death, where angels will fly around and it'll all be perfect." He taught that heaven is now. It's in your thoughts. It's when you forgive. It's when you love. It's all of those things. That's heaven. But the reason I think it came to the other belief is that people saw it as a way to control other people. That you better behave, you better believe this, or you're going to suffer forever. I remember reading when I was in college, or I think it was, Portrait of an Artist as a Young Man. Did you ever read that book? James Joyce? And there's a description in there of eternity in hell. And it says, imagine being in hell, and it's like a beach where a seagull comes and takes one grain of sand away from that beach every year. And however long that takes, that's how long you'll be suffering. Isn't that terrible? Now, I don't think James Joyce believed that, but he was one of his characters was saying that. Anyway, people will believe what they believe. But I know I'm kind of poking fun at it. Sometimes we're it's like we have to respect other people's beliefs. I don't respect everyone's beliefs. I respect them as people. I respect them as souls, but I don't respect the belief if I find it to be destructive or hurtful to others. So I don't respect that belief. But anybody who wants to carry that belief, certainly I respect them. And there are friends that I have that certainly believe that way. So how does it work here? Here's something for you to think about. You have the power to create your world. And if you step back from drama and conflict, which is hell, and allow the presence and power of God, God expressing as you and as who you are, that your thoughts and behaviors then can flow from that. And I put that on a little, actually I put it in the form of I, and I put it on a little card for you so you can have a reminder. Can I have anybody to help me pass these out? Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Jamie. So I'll read it again, but with I. I have the power to create my world. I step back from drama and conflict, and I allow the presence and power of God. God expressing as me is who I am. My thoughts and behaviors flow from who I am. So it's less about changing our behavior. It's more about changing our inner state. Notice I said, I step back from drama and conflict. I don't resist it. If I have negative emotions, if you have negative emotions, you have those emotions. There's nothing wrong. There are no wrong emotions. Thanks for passing those out. Yeah. There are no wrong emotions. Accept them. Experience them. But they don't have to become your life. You don't have to identify with them. If you feel depressed, then feel depressed. Maybe stop feeding it with a set poor me story and just accept and love the feeling of depression. Just go through it. Emotions are meant to be experienced and to pass through us, not to be held on to. All right. So here's a few more thoughts. Three exactly. First one, look into your neighbor's eyes. And actually, I'm asking you to do that. Look around. Don't stare, but look into people's eyes. Just look at, just take a good look without judging, without assessing. Look into people's eyes. That's heaven. And if you didn't see it, look again. That's heaven. And be present in this very moment. That's heaven. Because hell is when we're focused on the past or the future. Recently, I go on Facebook. I don't publish political stuff on my page, but sometimes, unfortunately, I respond to other people when they publish it. And I have a friend who he's very right-wing, and he's doing the whole thing about, you know, the flag thing and the football players and really coming down hard on it. And so I challenged him on it, and he came at me really hard. So I came back at him without being nasty, but just being very direct. And then he, you know, came even harder at me and said, oh, you're losing credibility with me, blah, 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 which I don't really care if I have credibility, you know, as in his mind as a thinker, but I do care about him as a friend. And so it did bother me that he came at me so hard, and also and that maybe I said some things that really offended him. I don't know. I wasn't trying to, but it could have. And so I responded by email instead, saying, hey, I don't want to have a fight with you on Facebook, but this is how I feel, and I value our friendship, and I don't want to keep doing this. And in thinking about this, what really came to mind is I love this guy. I really do. I don't know why. I just do. Do I have to have a why? No. But I like hanging out with him when I do. Even though we differ on so many things, it doesn't matter. I really love him, and that's why I don't want to have the fight. I don't want to play one up. And so that, to me, is the shift. While I'm in the conflict, thinking about what he's saying, And I'm really not trying to convince him. I want him to just see it a little bit differently. But still, in wanting him to see it differently, I'm in conflict. And when I'm in conflict, I'm in hell. I'm troubled. And so when I shift to, I really love this guy. I don't really want to fight. Now I'm in heaven. You see what I'm saying? You feel it? Yeah, it's as simple as that. What do I choose? Hell or heaven? Conflict and strife or love? What do I choose? Love or fear? I've said this before, but I think I'm going to stick with it this time. I'm not going to comment on people's political stuff anymore. Because I found that it doesn't do any good. Because most people don't listen, and most people are, don't give me any of your facts because I already have an opinion. And that can be on both sides of the political realm. And actually, I don't even consider myself on a side. I'm more of a centrist. So there's people that put liberal stuff up there that bugs me too. But I guess I just find some of the right-wing stuff more extreme today. But you know, who knows? It's all opinion, right? It's if I choose love, then I can just comment on the postings that are about family or that are about other things and affirm that person's value. Why do I have to teach someone? You know, I mean, who am I that I have to teach someone a different point of view? It's not my job. So the first thing, is just looking at people around us and being able to see heaven rather than hell. The second one is to remove all barriers to love by accepting all negative feelings. Accept and embrace. Accept whatever negative feelings come up with me and just sit with them, embrace them, and do the same for others. That is, take it off automatic and that automatic reaction. And if somebody else is emoting in some way, it's not my job to determine if they should have that emotion, if they should feel that way or not, but accept it. In other words, be responsive to other people and myself rather than resistant. Responsive means that you look at someone and when they're expressing and you have an understanding of what they need. Resistant means you're fighting it. You don't want them to feel that way. It's inconvenient. Doesn't feel good. You don't like it. Responsive, if you can get yourself to do it, is a lot more powerful. And you feel a lot better. That one's tough sometimes, especially in a family situation where we have ingrained things we've been practicing for years. We've reacted to each other. The third one is to find joy in doing what we love. I think that we're in heaven when we're doing what we love to do, whatever that might be. Your career, your work, your hobby, whatever it is that you love to do, to make sure you spend time doing it. Don't put it off. Don't make a bunch of other stuff important, but find a way to love what you do, whatever it is, but find those things that you really love. Whether it's music or writing or you're building or making something, creating something, helping people, whatever it might be, is to make sure you spend time doing that. Because that's when I think all of our conflicted thoughts go away and we're in the zone. And when you're in the zone, you're in heaven. I had a quote here. There is nothing you have to do to get God. There are only some things to be released so that God can get you. Really, love is there already. It's just removing the barriers that we create to love. You don't have to earn anything. That unconditional love is always there. But it's opening ourselves to accepting that love, yet first removing those beliefs, those ideas that we're not good enough, we're not lovable, or we're the judgments we have of other people, that sort of thing. So if you want the kingdom of heaven, then make a promise to yourself. And the promise is, no more suffering. So about suffering, have you had enough? Have you had enough? Ask yourself that question. Have I had enough suffering? And see what the answer is. Not the intellectual answer. What's the answer in here? Because I'm sure for many of us we'll be saying, no, I haven't had enough. Guilt or whatever is in there. And so then ask yourself, are you willing to get to the point where you've had enough? Are you willing to let go of that need to make yourself suffer? I'm liking that word a lot lately, willingness. You don't have to have the intention. You don't have to make the commitment right away. You just have to be willing. Am I willing to accept God's unconditional love? Am I willing to live in the kingdom of heaven? Am I willing to let go of hell? Am I willing to not live my life like it's a country song? Am I willing? Are you willing? And that's my final question for you. Are you willing? Thank you.